So my presentation today is entitled Ethics in IRB, Sharing Best Practices and Lessons Learned in Working with Community Partners Engaged in Research. So as mentioned by the moderator, Patricia, my name is Tricia Pachowski. I work at Mishar. And my co-author, Stephanie Solomon, is not here today. And she was a postdoc at Mishar when we developed this training that I'm going to talk about today. She currently is an assistant professor of healthcare ethics at the Albert Gnegy Center for Healthcare Ethics at St. Louis University, with a secondary appointment at the Center for Clinical Research Ethics at WashU's Institute for Clinical and Translational Research. So I have no relationships to disclose. Hopefully it's entertaining. Or something new, you know.
I'm trying to wake us up.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you today a quick story about ethics, IRB, and community-engaged research at the University of Michigan. So we know increasingly funders, academic institutions, researchers, and community groups are realizing that health research can be more effective and more efficient when it involves collaborations between academics and community partners. Academic researchers are increasingly entering into partnerships with active members of community orgs to design, implement, and evaluate research aimed at improving health. Community partners often play a pivotal role in the research process, including developing the research project, identifying and recruiting participants, obtaining informed consent, collecting and interpreting data, and ultimately disseminating the findings back into their communities. Federal regulations require community partners engaged in research to fulfill the same regulatory requirements and trainings for human subjects protections as academic researchers. However, due to their distinct backgrounds and contexts, community partners can face daunting challenges in fulfilling these regulations. These include learning the technical language and requirements of IRBs, which I don't even understand, applying IRB requirements in situations vastly different from those that they were developed, and dealing with ethical challenges which the regulations are not designed. The only guidance community partners receive is an online human subjects training course that has been shown to ill-fit their needs. So this is our story, how we're trying to decrease some of these burdens through the development of an innovative training. So to tell you this story in the allotted time given, which isn't very much, I'm going to go over the background to this project, our IRB partnership development, consultation with community partners, our training, emerging hurdles facing community-engaged research, and then next steps. So the Michigan Institute for Clinical and Health Research is one of 60 clinical and translational science awards funded through the NIH. And we're all over the country, and we provide infrastructure for our institutions to do research. And so our CTSA, our CTSA educates, funds, connects, and supports research to improve health. So two cores of our CTSA were involved in this project, and that's our Research Ethics and Integrity Program, and then our Outreach Partnerships and Implementation Science. So we love acronyms and long names. But the Research Ethics and Integrity Program at Mishar assures that all researchers and staff receive appropriate ethics and integrity training, provides research consultation services, supports pilot ethics research, and hopefully is developing Mishar's role to be a leader in research ethics. And then my program is Outreach Partnerships and Implementation Science, OPIS. And so we have three arms. One's community engagement with community-based orgs, one is community engagement with practitioners, and then the other one is implementation science. So we have many people working on our team to do community-engaged research. We have faculty members. We have a coordinating council that meets once a month with UM faculty and staff, as well as 16 community orgs from Flint, Detroit, and Ypsilanti. And Ypsilanti is right next to Ann Arbor, for those of you who don't know Michigan geography. There's a community engagement coordinator, and then a research liaison, and then clinical research associates, which are actually at the ground level working to create partnerships and sustain partnerships. And then we have a pilot grant program where we give 3 grants out a year up to $25,000. So since 2008, we've funded $250,000. I'm not even reading my notes. It's just fluid now. Do you guys like this, though? Is this okay? I know it's interesting. So I was a liaison for 3 years, and now I'm a coordinator. But up to that point, when a MISHAR pilot was funded, I would really be the connector, and I'd be the link between the community partners and the academic partners in terms of developing their IRB proposal and application, and then submitting it, and then the communication back and forth, that dance about we need more information, this is unclear, and then eventually to hopefully getting it accepted and approved. So together between the community partners and I and the university partners, we face the challenges of the gaps in language, culture, and expectation that exist between IRBs and community partners. And then we decide, you know, we have to decide a response that was necessary. So Stephanie, Solomon, and I, we kind of took our starting point with this project and said, what are the barriers for community partners and human subjects protection systems? And we did this through just discussions with IRBs, with our Office of Vice President of Research, and our community partners. And through these conversations, we figured out that we need to develop more materials about communication. So I'm not going to go over this, and I did it last year more, but like talking about the roles of everyone, to be very clear about the community expertise, because they have it. So we just have to, we have to say it. And sometimes the IRB is just like, and they don't know as well as we know that community partners are essential and they're just as trained as we are. We also wanted our institution to have a consistent approach to community partner research because we have 9 IRBs with different trainings and backgrounds. So we wanted them to take a consistent approach with each application. And then we wanted to develop a new human subjects training that would address both the needs and learning styles of community partners and then the national regulatory and organizational concerns of our academic institutions. Oh, that's a mouthful. What time do I have? Oh, I have 5 minutes left? Oh, that's not a lot. So we met with the IRBs, and then we met with our community partners. What we found is the training that the University of Michigan uses is called PEERS, which is from based on the city. It's not interesting enough. It's not exciting. It's not really like resonating with people. I mean, even academics who take it, you know, at University of Michigan, you can kind of go through it and you're not really like, it's not sinking in. It's not digestible. So we developed a training and then we piloted last year right before the last APHA. And it was to improve the overall IRB approval process for community partner research and then also to build capacity by teaching community partners the history behind the institutional regulations, the principles underlining these regulations, and then how to apply them in the community context, which involved little vignettes and breakout sessions. So that's kind of it. We spend a little bit of time on the history, most of the time on informed consent, so how to do it, and then how do you interact with your IRB. So what's an amendment, how do you communicate with the PI back at the university. So we piloted it, only 40 people, which I'm sure is not significant, but it was significant to us. So it was mostly female, 86%, 83% African American, 14% Caucasian, and then 3% other. 57% came from community-based organizations, and then they had diverse educational backgrounds. And so what we found is, just we kind of did a background, but what's interesting is the bottom one, did you observe problematic ethical behavior? And that was 40% have did that in the pretest in their research studies. And then the pretest is red, and then the blue is post-test. So we increased everything. I don't know if it's significant because we didn't look at that yet, but we were teaching them something from what they didn't know before and then what they learned. And then this is kind of like there was a lot of misconceptions about research. So people coming in thought that the Tuskegee syphilis study was the United States government giving people syphilis. And so we reduced some. Not enough, though, I don't think. And then if you did conform consent, people thought that you had to stay in the research study and you couldn't leave. And then we taught them, these are just some of them, that pregnant women are a vulnerable population. So our next steps, we recently got a CTSA supplement to pilot this training among 13 CTSAs. So if anyone's out there that I haven't contacted, come up to me. And we're hoping to create more of a national standard on a different type of training. So I don't know if it'd be offered through City or somewhere else, but right now we're pulling sites together and we're going to train the trainers, and then they're going to go out to their community partners and train them on research and ethics. So I won't have time, but we recently at the University of Michigan have a new thing about conflict of interest, which is adding two months on some IRB application process for community engaged research. So with our pilots are 1 year. Some of them are now on this like conflict of interest review board that has to look at their conflict of interest. That's 2 months. And then some of their IRBs take 3 or 4 months. So that's 7 months of a 12-month funded project. So this just happened in August, so we need to figure that one out. So I won't tell you about it. So I'm going to fast forward through that. It's a 5-page for every conflict of interest you have. If you want to reach us, we have lots of outlets. So I'm done. Thank you.